Good day, and welcome to today's National Foundation for American Policy Report on CFIUS and Foreign Investment Conference Call. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Stuart Anderson. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. This is Stuart Anderson. I'm Executive Director of the National Foundation for American Policy, which is a nonpartisan public policy research organization. Started in 2003, focusing primarily on trade and immigration. The study we're releasing today can be found on our website at www.nfap.com. Last year, the attempt by Dubai Ports World to acquire certain U.S. port operations was certainly one of the biggest news stories of 2006. And according to the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press, an incredible 41% of Americans said they were following the issue closely at that time, which was only slightly less than were following the war in Iraq. In June 2006, we released a study by two Johns Hopkins scholars that focused on the economics of the issues and touched a little bit on the CFIUS process, particularly in relation to legislation that was being considered at the time in Congress. Interestingly, none of the bills that were being proposed in Congress actually passed, but we were hearing quite a bit about the impact of the Dubai port controversy on that nevertheless was being felt within the CFIUS, within CFIUS and also among U.S. And foreign companies. So we asked David Marchik, who's an expert on CFIUS, to research and write about these issues in a way that would be accessible for people. Before we hear from David on the findings of his research, we're first going to turn to Secretary Don Evans, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Financial Services Forum, which is an organization that represents CEOs of 21 of the largest financial services companies in the world. Secretary Evans was the 34th Secretary of Commerce at the Department of Commerce, and he is also a former CEO of Thom Browne, and has so he has experience both in the government and, of course, as a longtime businessman as well, who can speak to these issues. Secretary Evans?
Thank you, Stuart, very much. I want to thank the National Foundation for American Policy, too, for sponsoring, I think, this excellent work that was has been provided by David. I've had a chance to look through the document. It's very thorough. It's complete. It's comprehensive. It does spell out, I think, very clearly the challenges that that we face in making sure that we address this CFIUS process and bring it to some finality so that the rest of the world has greater certainty as to how the process works. You're exactly right in pointing to the Dubai Ports World controversy a year ago. As when I was Secretary of Commerce, I was a part of the CFIUS process, or the Department of Commerce is a part of the CFIUS process, so certainly I'm aware of how it works and what the focus is intended to be on, and the focus is intended to focus on national security related issues. I think that unfortunately there has been some confusion created as to just how the process does work. I think it's had a rather chilling effect on foreign investment coming into the United States. As I've traveled the world this last year, particularly in China, I did have this issue raised to me a number of times. It looks like you may be getting, you being America, less friendly to foreign investment. So I would say that it is important that we get some legislation in place so that we can bring some real predictability and certainty to what the process is and continue to have predictability and certainty in our own U.S. economy, because that's really one of the hallmarks of our economy and one of the strengths of our economy, that people feel like they can operate within our economy and understand what the rules are. Let me say that I have had the chance to work with Chairman Barney Franks and others on this issue. I think he's done a terrific job in getting Congress focused on the importance of this issue. I intend to continue to work with Chairman Franks as well as the leadership on the Senate side to see if we can't bring some constructive legislation to a head. But again, I think it's there's a fair amount of confusion created because of the Dubai Ports World controversy. There are certainly, and it's well spelled out in David's report. I don't want to go over them, but I mean, there's certainly a growing body of evidence that it has had a somewhat chilling effect on foreign capital coming into the United States, which hurts our U.S. economy. So it's an important issue to be focused on. You got, I think, again, a great report by David Marchick that really spells out the issues, and now we must continue to work with Congress and make sure that we get the kind of balance we need within CFIUS process so it doesn't move out beyond the issue, the original intent, which was just make sure we're protecting the national security of the country and not moving into some other area where it feels like it's being used as some kind of protectionist tool. So let me stop there. I know we got some Q&A. I know David, I think, wanted to make a few remarks too. So let me just stop there and turn it over. I'll just turn it back to you, Stuart. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Secretary Evans. David Marchick is a partner at Covington & Burling and co-chair of the firm's international practice. He's a leading expert on the Exxon Florio Amendment and co-author of the book U.S. National Security and Foreign Direct Investment. He's testified before Congress on numerous occasions, and he served in the Clinton White House and State Department. David?
Thank you very much to you, Stuart, for inviting me to do this paper and for your excellent editing. And thank you very much to Secretary Evans for participating and for his cogent and remarks that I endorse fully. I'd like to make four brief points, which are as follows. First, the stakes are high. Frankly, the fact that Secretary Evans, someone of his stature, is spending so much time on this demonstrates how high the stakes are. But I think the paper also points out that we're talking about, you know, well north of $100 billion in transactions that go through CFIUS. We counted 37 transactions alone that came very close to $100 billion, talking about 5 million jobs, high-paying jobs, manufacturing jobs, good jobs. We're talking about the Congress being incredibly focused on this. There were more than 25 hearings just last year on foreign investment issues. And we're also talking about the ability for U.S. companies to invest abroad, because what comes around goes around, and if we close our markets, others will close theirs. Second point is that CFIUS has already changed post-Dubai. And in the report, we point out four phases of the CFIUS process in the appendix. The early years, where there was great uncertainty about the process, this was before the regulations were actually even issued. The 90s, the second half of the first Bush administration, the Clinton administration, and then pre-September 11th in the second Bush administration. Post-September 11th, when the security issues were very much intensified in the security focus and the CFIUS process became very tough, frankly, in the post-September 11th, and Secretary Evans, you know, sat on a number of those discussions. And then finally, the post-Dubai ports world, which is marked by, you know, significant increase in filings, significant increase in investigations, significant increase in mitigation agreements, and a changed CFIUS process where secretaries, deputy secretaries, undersecretaries, senior-level people are regularly debating and engaging in the issues, where the agreements are much tougher, where the involvement of Congress is much deeper. And it's just, frankly, a much tougher environment for foreign investors. to pursue investments in the United States in sensitive sectors of the U.S. economy. Third is uncertainty. I think Secretary Evans really hit the nail on the head here. The most important issue for any business person making an investment is certainty. Certainty about timing, certainty about the ability to close, certainty about conditions, certainty about whether there's going to be a political reaction to an investment, and certainty about whether they should file or not file with regulatory authorities. And I go back to the very simple example, you know, we've all been involved in buying or selling a house. If I'm selling a house and Secretary Evans can close on that house in 30 days and Stewart can close on that house in 60 days or 90 days, and there's uncertainty about whether he's going to get a bank loan and uncertainty about whether he's going to have conditions put on him by the bank, I'm going to sell to Secretary Evans every time. And the same calculus goes into investments in the billions of dollars by U.S. and foreign executives, U.S. executives in terms of whether they're going to sell, foreign executives in terms of whether they're going to buy. And certainty, the more uncertainty, the less likely it is that a foreign investor is going to invest, and the less likely that a foreign investor is going to be competing on the same playing field as a domestic investor. And so there has been, as Secretary Evans said, greater uncertainty, particularly in the area of critical infrastructure. Just give you one quick example. When a foreign company invests in the defense sector and there are classified contracts, the rules that have been established by DOD have been very clear for years. They know they have to set up a separate subsidiary and wall off foreign persons from classified information. In this broad area of critical infrastructure, the rules are still being developed, and that creates uncertainty. And so that brings us to the fourth point, which is that it's critical, as Secretary Evans said, to get for the executive branch through an executive order and the Congress through legislation to get this right, to get the balance right, to bring certainty to the marketplace, and to make sure, as Secretary Evans said, that CFIUS is intensely and singularly focused on the marginal increase in national security risk as a result of a particular foreign acquisition, as opposed to focus on other issues that may or may not be related to a particular foreign investment. So I'm going to close there and turn it back over to Stewart and Secretary Evans if they want to add anything or edit, or however Stewart wants to proceed next.
Sure. Well, thank you, David. Again, I want to compliment David for really taking a very complex topic and making it very accessible for anyone who wants to understand the issue, and particularly what's happened most recently. I think we're ready to open up for questions. If you could explain the process for people on the call.
Thank you, sir. For those of you who have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone, and your questions will be answered in the order that they are received. If you are using a speakerphone, you must pick up your handset before pressing star 1 to register for a question. If at any time your question has already been answered, please press star 2 to remove yourself from the question lineup. Please allow one moment for our first question. Our first question comes from Mr. Mark Drajum of Bloomberg News. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Just two quick questions for David. One, can you explain where you got your data on the different CFIUS numbers? And more broadly, doesn't it make sense to have greater security reviews given the fact that, you know, September 11th and the war on terror in Iraq and everything else that's going on?
Sure. Two good questions. The first question is the data. The data came from the Treasury Department and the other agencies. You know, I'm sure they would share this data with you and the public. Some of the other data I developed on my own, including the $95 billion number, which I used SEC filings from public companies to develop. The answer to the second question, in my view, is yes. I mean, the post-September environment brought new challenges and legitimate security issues for the U.S. government and for all Americans. And the statute is incredibly flexible by not defining what national security means to enable CFIUS to expand or contract its focus on transactions as it sees fit. Only the president can define national security, and the statute gives the president that flexibility. And I think that post-September 11th, there were significant changes, particularly in the area of telecommunications and IT, where the government's interest in, A, making sure that they had access to data and information that affected national security was not impeded, and B, making sure that foreign governments or foreign entities were not aware of the activities that our security agencies were pursuing. The issue changed post-Dubai world because I think of political uncertainty. And really it was you know, a dramatic political explosion. And the backlash has caused a reaction within the CFIUS agencies. You know, as Secretary Evans could tell you, for every action in Washington, there's an equally powerful reaction. The Congress, you know, had a very strong reaction to Dubai ports, and the bureaucracy, the CFIUS agencies have reacted. And so we have a much more cautious environment, both in the government and in the private sector, and that affects investment.
Thank you, Mr. Jajum. Our next question comes from Osita Oroegbu of Legal Times. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you. Which investors, foreign investors, are currently having difficulty navigating through CFIUS? And also, are there currently any legislative initiatives or lobbying being undertaken?
The first question, I don't want to get into specific transactions except for what's been reported in the press. I mean, you know, the Lucent Alcatel transaction obviously has been reported heavily on the press, and that was a challenging transaction. CFIUS typically takes a look at both the foreign entity making an acquisition and the target company to create a risk profile for a particular transaction and makes its national security evaluation based on the marginal increase in risk from the buyer and the sensitivity of the asset of the seller. And when you combine those, they determine which transactions raise real issues or not. And, you know, I'd say that there has been much greater scrutiny, both post-September 11th and post-Dubai ports world across the board. You know, I think the data shows that there have been many more transactions, many more investigations, longer reviews, and more mitigation agreements. So I'd say the process overall is much, much tougher than it was before. In terms of Congress, both Senator Dodd and Congressman Frank, both of whom have very strong records in favor of the importance of foreign investment for the U.S. economy, have indicated their desire to pursue legislation this year. You know, there was legislation that passed each House last year. It's my hope that if Congress acts, that the bill could be closer to the House bill that was considered than the Senate bill last year. And, you know, I think we have very strong leadership in both the Democratic and Republican sides of both the House and the Senate on this issue. And, you know, I know that they're taking a very thorough and careful look to make sure they get it right.
Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Rebecca Christie of Dow Jones. Please proceed with your question, ma'am.
Hi, thanks very much. Did your research lead you to form any opinions about the merits of these transactions, when they should be approved, when they shouldn't, and if there are any targets for levels of foreign investment in the U.S. that should be on the table?
I mean, my general view is that most foreign acquisitions don't create real national security issues. There are occasionally, but very occasionally, transactions which do. You know, there are certain companies like Lockheed Martin that, you know, provide critical activities for critical components and products for the Defense Department that are so important for national security that, you know, with the exception of maybe British or Australian or Canadian ownership, you know, those should probably remain in American hands. But outside of, you know, a very, very narrow set, you know, in my view, most acquisitions don't raise real national security issues or issues that can't be mitigated through agreements. And, you know, I would hope that, CFIUS and the Congress would agree with that. Just give you one quick example. Both ExxonMobil and British Petroleum are, you know, slightly more, slightly less than half owned by Americans. Both are global companies. One's headquartered in the UK, one's headquartered here. I don't think that there's any national security issue related to either of them buying. And, you know, in my view, there shouldn't be a differentiation. One has to go through CFIUS, one doesn't. In terms of targets, you know, I don't think there should be government targets, but I think that the United States should have a very strong policy saying that we welcome foreign investment because it's so important to our economy and to jobs and to research and development of high technology and critical items in the United States.
Secretary Edmonds is going to be going pretty soon, so if anyone has a question for him, and I'd like to ask him to comment on one thing that David had said about the reaction in other countries for when U.S. Companies seek opportunities, whether it's trade or investment. As someone who's tried to open markets in other countries, I mean, what is the impact when something like a perception or a reality of U.S. tightening its own markets, what does that do for someone who is in your position when you're trying to open markets abroad?
Well, it has just the reaction that you might expect. Is they have a tendency to close their market because as we go around the world and we talk about a level playing field and we're all going to play by the same rules, if their perception is we're placing tougher restrictions on their capital coming into the U.S. than they may be placing on our capital going into their country, then they'll take a look at that and they'll say, well, you know, we're going to find our own process that you're going to have to go through, that we will make our own determination whether or not your acquisition is impacting our national security. So, I mean, again, it kind of gets back why it's so clear that we've got to have certainty as to kind of what CFIUS really is all about and what it's for. And you know, the other thing I think I would say, that the obvious thing, is it's important that the American people have a lot of confidence in the certainty of the process and the integrity of the process, because what clearly happened with respect to Dubai ports was just the messaging became very, very difficult. It became very difficult to explain to the American people how a foreign company located in the Middle East would be okay for them to acquire assets that were related to ports in the United States. And so making sure we get this process right and Congress blesses the process as well as the administration is important for the American people with respect to just their own confidence in the process.
Great. I know you may have to be going. Why don't we see if there's one more question that might be for Secretary Edmonds, and then because I know he needs to be going.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jeremy Pulaski of Reuters. Please proceed with your question.
Thanks. Thanks, Dave and Secretary Evans and Stuart. The Secretary could address this, and then Dave, do you get any sense that CFIUS agencies are taking these concerns, because they've been raised over the last several months, namely in the Lucent-Alcatel deal, in that clearance that the concerns that you all have raised and are raising in this report are being taken into account, or is it contrary and they're just saying, well, that's all nice and good, but we still got a job to do and that's what we're going to do, and with the Lucent mitigation agreement as an example?
Well, David's a lot closer to all of, you know, this issue than I am. I mean, again, I think I compliment him on this tremendous report that he's put together, but I think he touched on it earlier in saying that certainly within the agencies and within the process, there's certainly been a lot more discussion and conversation and review of just how the process has been working and the attention that each individual agency needs to give to the process. And so I don't think anybody, I think it has caused kind of a heightened awareness of the importance of it, and I think it's caused the agencies to certainly spend more time thinking about it and just assuring everybody that the integrity of the process is in place, not compromised, and that they're going to provide the capital of the world some certainty as to how the process works. So, you know, I mean, I would just say nobody's taking this issue lightly. It's very, very important. Dubai Ports took it to a new level, and consequently, you're seeing a lot of attention given to it.
Jeremy, for 1 second, Secretary Evans, I know you have to go, but I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
You bet. No, glad to have done it.
Thank you.
All of y'all. Take care.
David? I don't have anything to add. I thought Secretary Evans' comment was right on, Jeremy.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks.
There appears to be no questions at this time. We'd like to give everyone an opportunity, so please press *1 on your keypad today. There appears to be no questions. I'd like to turn the call back over to you with your closing statements.
Sure. I'd like to thank everyone for being on the call. Before I close, I'd just like to ask David if he has any other points he'd like to make.
No, I just appreciate the opportunity to talk about this and appreciate the opportunity to work with you, Stuart, on this.
Great. Well, again, thank you all for participating on the call. A copy of the study is on the website, and I believe we will also, at some point, I don't know if it will be today, but at some point we will also have a recording of this call on the website as well that people could use. Again, thank you very much.
This concludes the National Foundation for American Policy Report conference call. Thank you, everyone, for joining. You may now disconnect.